Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. My president is
back. Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does I remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. I'm your host, Jerome. On this program, we honor Black history. Of course, we're going to start off every show this month with something from Black history. So, I don't know what that is yet, but we'll have something up. And Maurice White, the founder of Earth, Wind, and Fire, has passed away. Now, if you don't know the supergroup Earth, Wind, and Fire, I can't do nothing for you. But Earth, Wind, and Fire is founder of Earth, Wind, and Fire has passed. Also, President Obama calls for anti-Muslim rhetoric. He just pretty much said it's unexcusable, is what it is. So President Obama spoke at a mosque, and we'll talk about that. And we are going to talk about a Delta Airlines flight that had a fight at 30,000 feet. Now, this fight happened when two flight attendants get into a fight at 30,000 feet. And you know what's interesting, but the plane was diverted, so I guess no harm, no foul. But there was just some chaos that happened. But anyway, we have that and much more. But I want to welcome you again on to the show. Now, if this is your first time here, Esprit.net News is a weekly summary of news. It's our news summary. And you can call in and join us at area code 323-693-3038 live on Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or you can check us out in the archives, if that's not what you're already doing, at espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com. Now, before we go to our first story, this is Black History Month. So one of the people who I want to highlight on this Black History moment is Claudette Colvin. She was born on September 5th, 1939. Now, if you have not heard of Claudette Colvin, she's a pioneer of the civil rights movement. Now, I know you probably never heard of her, but you heard of Rosa Parks. Well, she was the first one to start the bus boycott. She had the incident 9 months prior to Rosa Parks. Nothing is taken from Rosa Parks for what she did, but a part of the original lawsuit, it was Claudette Colvin. She was the first person arrested for resisting bus segregation in Montgomery, Alabama. And she was just young. I think she was 14 or 16 at the time. And they wanted someone older who was already in one of the organizations. So Rosa Parks is the one that's known for it because they wanted someone older in there. But she was actually the first one that resisted, young Claudette Colvin. There you have it for your Black History Month fact. And also, while we are our first news story, there's also kind of a Black history fact to some degree, but Maurice White, the founder and lead vocalist of Earth, Wind, and Fire, has passed away at age 74. Now, White, his brother did confirm that the musician died in his sleep in Los Angeles this morning after a long battle with Parkinson's disease. The band is known for such hits as Shining Star, September, Boogie Wonderland, After Love Is Gone, Getaway. There are so many Earth, Wind, and Fire songs. I don't even know where to go. But the former session drummer is how Maurice White started. He founded Earth, Wind, and Fire in the late 60s. The group went on to sell more than 90 million albums worldwide. And for you young kids, that's just 90 million records, CDs. And Earth, Wind, and Fire won 6 Grammys, was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2000, and Maurice White was individually inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2010. So if you don't know who the group is, it is some of the best music you're ever going to hear, and even on the spiritual side. And I have to say, you have to see Dr. Anthony T. Browder talk about the artwork that was put on Earth, Wind, and Fire's record covers and CD covers and album covers over the years. Maurice White was a genius, and he actually gave you a lot of history inside of the music. So if you want to check that out, it will be a new discovery for you. But if you don't know who Earth, Wind, and Fire is, it is a great historical band now. Maurice White, Verdeen White, his brother, Ralph Johnson, Philip Bailey, John Paris, B. David Wentworth, Greg Moore, who they call it GMO, Morse O'Connor, Gary Bias, Bobby Burns Jr., Crystal Bailey, Kim Johnson, and Reggie Young made up the members of Earth, Wind, and Fire. So just want to make sure I start off the show with that, because he's losing another great soul to the ancestors, so I want to make sure I mention Maurice White with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Now, in this week's news, our first story is U.S. productivity falls a sharp 3% in the fourth quarter of last year. Now, this was the biggest quarterly decline in 2 years. The Federal Reserve keeps watch on both productivity and labor costs as it deliberates how quickly it should raise interest rates or to keep inflation under control. But this is something that's a pretty good marker that of how our outlook will start to look. But there was a sharp decrease in the last quarter. Now, burning fossil fuels has caused the Atlantic Ocean to soak up more than 50% of carbon dioxide than normal over the last decade. Now, researchers say that the North Atlantic absorbed 100% more man-made carbon dioxide over the last decade than the previous one. So there we go for global warming and all of those people who pretty much have been naysayers about climate change, but we are still getting information in, so there you have it. Now, speaking of burning fossil fuels, in the news, Shell Oil Company plans to lay off 10,000 employees during a merger, as new statistics show their employment, or I guess their new statistics show employment in the U.S. oil industry has dropped by 100,000, not just Shell's, but everyone across the board. Now, the CEO of Royal Dutch Shell announced that there's going to be massive layoffs ahead of that company's merger with BG Group. Don't know who they are, but Shell plans on laying off. Army generals pushed to rule that all men and women should have to register for the military draft. Now, the U.S. military is currently an all-volunteer force, but young men and women are required to register in case the draft is reactivated, just in case. Now, a general told a Senate committee this week the rules should include women as well. And I'm not going to really comment on that, although that pretty much stinks, But a new report came out from some organization called the Friends of Israel or some coalition, some made-up name apparently, came out with findings that said that the U.S., I'm sorry, we'll put the U.S. in this last, their findings was that the traditional warfare needs to be invoked to stomp out terrorism. So with all the terrorist groups in the Middle East and around the world, that there needs to be boots on the ground and civilians, we need to accept the fact that civilians are going to lose their lives. This is according to some Israeli think tank group. Now, they're also lobbying the U.S. that says that the only people who can actually win this war is the U.S. So along with the same report to draft, this group, this Israeli group, is lobbying the United States to put more children, your children, boots on the ground, because that's the only way we can win in our fight against terrorism. So here's where I give you a little commentary, because regardless, those guys are not spending any money, and none of those guys in Europe are putting any boots on the ground, and you think U.S. should take casualties. And just sacrifice your kids and give us $3 billion a year while you're at it. I don't think so. All right, so since it was such a foolish study, I didn't want to cite the study, but it's been out there. And anytime somebody lobbies you with that kind of nonsense, you tell them that I said, if nobody's fighting over here, we're not going over there to fight. It's just not how that's going to work. Now, President Barack Obama said this week he slammed what he called inexcusable anti-Muslim rhetoric in the political sphere, making his first visit to a mosque while in office. The president praised American Muslims as upstanding citizens and thanked them for helping their community. Now, recently, he said that we've heard inexcusable political rhetoric against Muslim Americans that has no place in our country, is what he told the members of the Islamic Society of Baltimore without specifically naming anyone. The first thing he said I want to say is two words that Muslim Americans don't hear often enough is thank you. Now, the president, at the start of his speech, said that to applause. He said that we have to understand an attack on one's faith is an attack on all of our faith. So I often hear that we need more clarity in this fight, that somehow if you would simply say these are all Islamic terrorists, we would have already solved the problem by now. He said that I agree that we need more clarity. Groups like ISIL are desperate for legitimacy, and I refuse to give them that legitimacy. He says that we are one American family, and when any part of our family starts to feel separated or second class, it tears the very fabric of our nation. And that's according to President Obama, who was addressing the Islamic Society of Baltimore. And by the way, for the record, I know I've said this before, the president always, and the Secretary of State, John Kerry, calls them by their right name, ISIL. It is not ISIS. So just so that you guys get the clarity, I don't know what they're trying to do by running ISIS name through the mud, but it's the group name is ISIL. Now, President Obama also on today warned that the corrosive impact of public fear or fear in public life and urged bipartisan group of power brokers to abide by their faith when no one is watching. Now, he spoke today at the National Prayers Breakfast, and he says, fear does things. Fear can lead us to lash out against those who are different or lead us to try to get some sinister other under control. Now, the annual National Prayer Breakfast is something that he normally attends, and I think this is his last one of his presidency. So he said, faith is a greater cure for fear. Jesus is a good cure for fear, and And so that's how he kind of ended it, but I'll just paraphrase the rest of that. But that was after he visited the American mosque. He had the prayer breakfast this morning and still with the same language to tell, you know, a diverse crowd of, I guess they kind of picture them as the elite, but he made the same message. Now, I know a lot of people have been calling or have been saying that the president should have made this type of stand-up speech years ago when it came to Muslim Americans. But, you know, whenever he does it is when he does it. So I'm not going to critique that, but just wanted to put that out there. I just wanted to remind you, you're listening to EspriNet News on Espri Radio. You can call in to join us, area code 323-693-3038. And if you're already on the line, I want to say hey for those in the chat room. And you can send us your questions or comments there. If you're on the line, just hit one on your line and I'll bring you in. And if you are want to email us, just send your questions to news@soulofsyracuse.com if you want us to talk about something on the show. Now, Russia's Air Force conducted mock nuclear attacks against Sweden during war games is what NATO revealed the day after it claimed that Putin's forces could overrun Europe in days. Now, the Russian Air Force carried out a mock nuclear attack during their war games in March of 2013. The exercise saw Russian aircraft approach Sweden airspace, but never actually went in. But I think they were just showing their might. Again, here's a little bit of world history. World War One and Two. Germans overran them all. But anyway, that's not a prediction, just saying. So I guess NATO is putting us on the warning that just in case, they're saying they need to do something. Or more than likely, they're telling the U.S. that we need to do something. Okay. Now, a New York Police Department officer, NYPD, is awarded $15 million of payout after colleagues beat him up, then falsely arrest him in his home after 70 cops turned up at his house. They reported a gunman at his home, and police officer Larry Jackson from Queens, New York, won a multi-billion-dollar payout after claiming he was beaten up and falsely arrested at his daughter's birthday party in 2010. And I only said claiming because it was written that way. He got beat up. So he was beat up at his daughter's birthday party, and he was a police officer. Now he has $15 million. So if you want to train your police officers, train them. But, hey, you're going to have to pay up if you keep doing this illegally. Now, a district judge in Pennsylvania is having a hard time getting people to adhere to his court's code of conduct. Now, the district judge, Craig Long, from Columbus County in Pennsylvania, is so fed up with seeing pajamas in his courtroom that he had to put a sign asking people to dress more appropriately. Now, the sign reads, "Pajamas are not appropriate attire for a district court." And he said that I just put it out there as a reminder of a code of conduct that should be followed when appearing in court. Just like if you were going to church, you should dress appropriately. It's not a rule or something that we can enforce, but it's just a reminder. It's hilarious. But the court is actually kind of, it looks like it's in a house. So it's not a really formal court, but I guess Columbus County, they're taking this really serious. But the judge did post a sign. And they actually had pictures of people kind of going in and out of court. Nothing serious. There is no dress code for court, by the way. Now, an Italian wife faces 6 years in jail for mistreatment of her family because she doesn't do enough housework. I didn't just make the story up. Just wanted to say this for the record. But a 40-year-old woman from central Italy is being taken to court by her husband for mistreatment of the family over her alleged lack of cooking and cleaning. You know, with charges like this, she can face up to 6 years. I'm just doing the news, people. All right. 18-year-old German tourist. Okay, this is in the Jerk Files. An 18-year-old German tourist is banned from entering Egypt for life after some fool, and I'm putting that in there, scaled the Great Pyramid of Giza and caused a national outrage. Now, he took photos of the desert landscape, you know, surrounding one of the, as a matter of fact, it's not one of, it's the oldest of the seven wonders of the ancient world. He climbed up the Great Pyramid to take pictures with his feet dangling over. Okay, he's banned for life. All right, stop touching stuff, tourist. Five employees charged with assault at a private all-boys school. It's an all-boys special needs school in Massachusetts after an abuse allegations. Now, four men and one woman, all are employees at the Eagleton School in Great Barrington. It's a private year-round boarding school for boys with special needs, including autism and Asperger's. I don't know what that is, but they were apparently having parties or something and abusing children. So there you have it. Just wanted to make sure we shared the news. All right, now, more babies were born to poor families, according to a new study, and fewer women obtained birth control after Texas cut Planned Parenthood in 2013. Now, the study's authors, the authors of this report published in the New England Journal of Medicine this week said that there is no doubt that Texas has failed to adequately fill the void left by Planned Parenthood. Now, I remember this argument all day, every day, that you don't really need Planned Parenthood and there are other things that they can do and they just do abortions and blah, blah. And apparently they are not having adequate health care in Texas where they don't have Planned Parenthood anymore. This according to this study. So if you want to check it out, you can go to the New England Journal of Medicine to find that out. Now, okay, there's another story. And speaking of Texas, on how being poor makes you eat more. Children raised in poverty are more likely to overeat or be overweight as adults. That's according to research at Texas Christian University. They found a link between those who were less well off as a child and the tendency to continue to eat even when full as an adult. Now, I don't know too much about the details of this study because it just seemed kind of silly, but they're just saying that if you have a poor diet in your childhood, you're probably going to overeat when you're older. Didn't make sense. All right, so who knows what they're talking about in Texas Christian University. All right, just wanted to remind you, you're listening to EspriNet News on Espri Radio. Our call-in number is area code 323-693-3038 if you want to call in and, you know, talk about some of these stories, because the story's about to get a little messy from here on out. Try to give you some stable news to make you a little smarter, I guess. Now, the Sacramento Kings basketball team had to cancel a giveaway on the Lunar New Year. They had Lunar New Year shirts to celebrate this Chinese changing of the year, I guess, on Monday. And a player noted that the shirts can be deemed offensive during Black History Month. Now, a TV analyst for the Milwaukee Bucks, Marcus Johnson, said he was called into a conversation by one of the players, the Sacramento Kings players, DeMarco Cousins, who's having a conversation with one of the Kings operations team over the controversial T-shirt. So Marcus Johnson said he walked into the building and DeMarcus Cousins called me over to an animated discussion that he's having with Kings operations people. He asked me, old school, what do you think about this T-shirt? And the T-shirt had the year of the monkey on it and something, Happy New Year or something. And he said, I told him, a little insensitive on the first day of Black History Month, and they ended up pulling the T-shirts, is what Johnson said. He actually posted it on his Facebook page. Now, the Chinese Year of the Monkey begins on February 8th, but the T-shirts were meant to be given away on the 1st, on Black History Month, the players and coaches were already wearing T-shirts celebrating Black History Month on that day. And he said, all we get this. The Kings president said, this is Chris Granger, he said, we all need a lesson in sensitivity. All right. Sacramento Kings president, you need to hire some Black people in your upper office. They sat those T-shirts out all over the stadium for the fans to wear before they even realized it was a bad idea, because one of the players spotted it before the shoot-around. That's how insensitive those fools are. Just wanted to share that. But it's an interesting story of starting off Black History Month with NBA teams celebrating everybody else but Black history. All right. Now, some of the top-selling brands of fitness trackers that monitor wearers' heart rates, sleep patterns, and movements are putting user data privacy at risk. That's according to a new report. Now, the cyber research at the University of Toronto examined eight popular wrist-worn trackers. They tested how much the communication they communicate with the mobile apps, and even uploaded and stored the user's workout information on the manufacturer's computer servers. Now, the fitness trackers are fairly new technology, and they're saying that there's not any regulation right now. There's no regulations right now for them. But the researchers said that they found cases where the data is being sent, and you might not even be aware. There's no apparent reason of why it's being sent, and it's even being sent when you think your wristband is off. So the study examined popular models made by Garmin, Fitbit, Jawbone, Apple, then several other models. But each of the devices use Bluetooth technology that emits a signal and a unique ID that can be detected even when the tracker is not paired with a mobile phone. So you're constantly sending out a signal, even if you don't have anything that's tracking it. Somebody can actually track it anyway. So be careful if you are using one of those wristbands. Now, Google revealed how much it paid the man who briefly owned Google.com. Now, there was a Massachusetts grad student who pointed out a glitch that allowed him to briefly own the world's most heavily trafficked website, and has been awarded $12,000 from Google. Now, the Boston Globe reported that this college MBA candidate believed that he bought the internet domain for $12 when he was using the Google domain's website to register service last fall. So he's a former Google employee, and he documented his improbable path to purchase the domain name. His order was verified, his credit card was charged, and he received an email confirmation. But 1 minute later, he received word that his order was canceled, and Google revealed that the company gave him $6,006.13. And that number, by the way, is Google spelled numerically, $6,006.13. And for discovering the bug, Google doubled it after they found out that the student actually donated that $6,000 to charity, and they gave him $6,000 more. So there you have it. And Google trying to be, I guess they were trying to be nice. I would say that about Google, right?
Seconds.
All right, now. In Cosby news, because I think we need to cover this. I never really talk about Cosby, so I'm going to talk about it today. Because of the actions of what happened over the last couple of days. Now, Cosby, well, I can't remember the guy's name, but we'll do the first things first. Now, a judge refused to throw out the sexual assault charges against Bill Cosby on Wednesday, sweeping aside the former district attorney's claim that he granted the comedian immunity from prosecution a decade ago. So Judge Stephen O'Neill issued a ruling after a hard-fought two-day hearing, says that the witnesses' credibility was a factor. Now, he didn't elaborate, but he's talking about the woman who makes the claim. Her credibility was a factor. And despite the setback, Cosby came out waving and smiling when he left court, just as he did the day before. Now, the judge has not ruled whether Cosby's 2005 deposition will be admissible. It may not be. But the day before that, there was a seven-hour testimony that almost cast Andrea Constand, I guess is the accuser, as unreliable and out for Cosby's money. Now, the former district attorney, Bruce Castor, attributed his decision not to charge Cosby in 2005 on a number of inconsistencies that she had in her statement. He said, "I made the final determination as a sovereign of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania not to prosecute." And the former DA went on at length about the protections that he put in place so that her civil suit against Cosby would not implicate the comedian criminally. He said that "I made a decision as a sovereign that Mr. Cosby would not be prosecuted no matter what," is what the former prosecutor said. And that then made it that he could never take the Fifth Amendment as a matter of law. So if we let him off criminal, he can't take the Fifth Amendment or plead the Fifth Amendment. So Castor said those decisions were made for all time. When the judge pressed him to say, was it just for that shot that he wouldn't be able to be prosecuted? And he said, "I made that decision for all time." And by doing that, he contributed to making her a millionaire, because I thought and still think making Mr. Cosby pay money to her is the best thing that we can do, because he said he believes the defects in her civil case meant that the case could not have been won. Since I decided I wanted Mr. Cosby punished in civil court, I didn't want them, the jurors, to hear that I had serious doubt about her. I didn't want her to be vilified. And he said that it was Cosby's attorney who told him in 2005 about the wiretaps that he suspected the non-law enforcement personal wiretaps had been used to obtain information from Cosby. And he said that Cosby's attorney was a man that he knew for 20 years and that he wouldn't lie to the district attorney. And I told police to go find out about them, and they did find those records, he said, noting his own role of revisiting state wiretap laws. There was insufficient credible evidence upon which any charges against Cosby could be proven beyond a reasonable doubt, and he investigated the case thoroughly because he wanted to show the authorities in her native Canada that celebrities don't get preferential treatment. But the problem was her mother illegally wiretapped Cosby. So to prosecute Cosby, her mother's probably going to go to jail, although the wiretaps didn't prove anything. All right, there you have it. Even after 7 hours of telling why he made the promise not to prosecute, the judge ruled based on them not having a signed agreement of to not prosecute. There you have it in a very bad nutshell, but there we go. All right, on that note, let's just go to commission. Let's see how commission is doing. You know, I knew the legal stuff was going to get you commission, but it just seemed kind of strange.
It seemed kind of strange.
Okay. Go ahead.
What I don't get? Okay, so this is Bill Cosby, right?
Yes.
And you're telling me that he agreed to testify in a trial on the promise, the oral promise, that they would not prosecute him criminally, and his lawyer didn't get a signed agreement? That sounds like a lawsuit right there.
Doesn't it? But here's the thing. His lawyer...
He could have called me. Come on now.
Here's the problem. There's three three problems to this case. So
They didn't sign an agreement.
Well,
so
that would be your legal that'd be your legal faux pas. But the problem was is that I don't know what this is in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, but his wording, his terminology is that he was invoking sovereignty. It was a sovereignty stature or something that he was making the decision for the Commonwealth. And so Cosby's attorney, who was a 20-year experience, from what I understand, even in the articles that I read, he was an award-winning, top-of-the-line attorney. And he said he knew him for 20 years because Cosby's attorney told the prosecutor they taped Cosby. And they wouldn't give Cosby the tapes because they was extorting money. So the prosecutor sent the police, found the tapes, found out that they were trying to extort money from Cosby. And he said, first of all, her stories are inconsistent. Now you tried to extort money for him. And then we had to find some unauthorized, illegal tapes that you tried to get him on tape. And now how do we prosecute? Because once that all comes out, it is a problem. So I guess
extortion,
not only
extortion, blackmail, and everything else.
Exactly. So the prosecutor said it's against my ethics because my own role in revisiting the state wiretap laws made it insufficient and not credible evidence to charge him with anything. He said you can't prove anything beyond a reasonable doubt, and if you put this in front of a jury, then they're going to vilify you because now you did everything. And she said, and he just pretty much said that her disposition and demeanor, I mean, he raked her over coals for 7 hours. And he said, I am not on Team Cosby. And he still raked her over the coals. But the new prosecutor is saying, well, you don't have a signed agreement. Although he invoked that stature, those documents were supposed to be sealed. And that's why the current judge kept asking him, did you mean for this decision to be met for that time? And he said, no, for all times. So the prosecutor invoked a state rule that to get him to, I guess it's something that you can invoke so that the defendant does not, you can't plead the Fifth Amendment if you can't be charged with anything. So he had to invoke something so that he could not take the Fifth, and he gave a deposition. And then they sealed it, and then they took it back when the new – you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Native Americans generally, right? Or African Americans, 40 acres and a mule, right? You pass this legislation, a new administration comes in, they say, oh, no, we don't have to honor that. That's exactly what happened.
Right.
The next administration that came in said, nope, we don't have to do that.
Because we know that, and because you know what I'm saying, I don't care really what you tell me about how you're not going to divorce me. You're not gonna, even if you do, you don't want to take any money.
You're getting a prenup, buddy.
You
yeah.
get a prenup.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about your freedom. The law, you see, this is, we're back to the, well, I don't want to start talking about OJ again, but we're back to OJ.
I thought about that, didn't even mention it, yep.
Yeah, we're back to OJ, okay? I'm accepted, I'm part of the in crowd, in starting with white, I'm part of the win crowd. You know, I can do these things because I am, you know, I'm characteristic, I'm superior, I'm this, I'm that, I'm not that, whatever, I've arrived. So mm-hmm. I don't really need to take all these extra precautions like I was Amadou Diallo or whatever. I'm not that.
Yeah.
So here I am, and I'm going to go in there, and I'm not going to insist that they get this written. I don't care what he says. I don't care what he says. Get a written agreement.
Well, he died now. Cosby's attorney passed away a couple of years ago. So,
I was not,
but
I'm not trying to insult the man, but I'm saying at the time that he was alive.
But right, but they didn't bring charges, and they weren't going to bring charges. I don't know anything about Pennsylvania. I don't know anything about invoking that as a prosecutor. Because he went on the record of invoking that. It's just that the current judge and the prosecutor are overruling that. So they ruled that they can actually go into an evidentiary hearing, I guess, and see if they have enough evidence to press charges. Like, he's not going to trial, but they need to know that they have enough credible evidence to press charges. Because even back then in 2005, they said we had no DNA. She wouldn't take any because she was gone. There was too many, we couldn't get any hair or anything to say that you were drugged. So it's just her word against his, and they tried to extort money from him. So there's no evidence or anything. And how are you going to put her on the stand? And so I think that's why Cosby was pretty happy anyway coming out of the court when they denied throwing it out, because the day before, the former prosecutor had 7 hours on the stand and ripping them on their own case. I mean,
I'm with you on all of it. I understand it. My point is just, even if we're not going to give it to Cosby, for anybody on the phone who's listening, I don't care what they tell you, get it in writing.
Oh, no doubt.
I don't care if they tell you that, you know, we're going to bury it in a time capsule and nobody's going to be able to see this until 10,000s of years after Christ.
I would say seal this with the original sealed indictment, right?
Right.
Seal it with that.
I understand that, but if it's no big deal and it doesn't matter anyway, if it's just the same to you, I'd like to have you sign that.
Nah,
period.
I can, you know,
that's
I agree
point.
With that.
Thank you. That's just my point. I don't care about all the rest of the stuff about what they promised.
Neither do I.
Thank you. And the man on the street knows that. So I'm trying to figure out what happened to Bill Cosby.
Hey, that's all I'm saying. I'm with you. Oh, you know, before we get out of here, you know, they had a, you know how when people have fights in major sports and people fall out about, you know, the athletes can't control themselves and all this and want to send them to jail? Well, an NHL hockey player brutally slammed an official to the ground. He got suspended for 20 games. And he was suspended for violating the league rules on physical abuse of officials. After he knocked down one of the linesmen, Don Henderson. Now, he didn't go to jail. Hockey is a brutal sport, but if they fought in basketball and somebody touched the ref, they'd be putting them in jail.
Okay, I happen to see that. I know you've always, like, people are like, Steve watches hockey too. I actually happen to see that move.
You were watching the game?
I saw it on the news. I didn't watch the game. But I saw it
more,
enough
uh-huh.
times. Yeah, because I watch sports news. So I watched it. They played it so many times, and each time the commentators were saying, well, no, he was dazed because he just got hit hard right before this. He didn't really – look at him. He doesn't really look like he means to knock the ref. And he takes his hockey stick and the ref is skating behind him, and he turns around and bam, slams the guy's head into that protective glass that separates the hockey players from the ring.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the ref hit the ground like he was out, completely out of it. I don't know if he had got a concussion or not. But they they tried to make excuses for the hockey
for the player
saying that he was dazed from being hit in the play before. He was so dazed, he knocked the ref to the ground, but he kept on skating and getting back in the play.
I saw the pictures, but I didn't see it live. But
I saw it 10 times they played it.
It always seems like that they're covering for their players. Like, they're blaming the ref on this. But, you know, in football, I can't believe the players are so brutal. Oh, this reminds me of a story I didn't do. Delta Airlines flight had to make an emergency stop when two flight attendants started fighting at 30,000 feet. Like, they had to divert the plane. Now, okay, maybe hockey's violent, but I never expect my flight attendants to fight. That's just my thing.
Oh, I do. I'm surprised that they never have before.
that is the first one.
Not all of them, but I've been on some planes with some flight attendants that are really rude. And I know that as a passenger, you know, I've wanted to really just take one of them aside and really give her a good talking to.
Just sit down.
You know,
yeah.
Not cussing or anything, but just like, what is wrong with you? You know what? If you need some rest, you need to, like, skip the next 6 flights and go get some rest or something.
Oh,
so
no.
I can just see, you know, when they're like, they won't let you walk down the aisle and they push that cart and make you stand there and wait. You know, come
hit
on,
your foot.
Do some stuff. Huh?
I say hit your foot. Yeah.
Yeah, you
the
know,
flight attendant just
or
had enough.
What they do to each other. You know, if they are going down the aisle with that cart, you have to stand there